Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Beis Sanhedrin 22. Today's Daf Yomi, we continue our discussion of the laws relating to a king, the unique laws about a king amongst the Jewish people. So says our Mishnah about a king, Ein Rochvin Al Suso. You're not allowed to ride on the horse of a king. Ve'ein Yoshvin Al Kiso. A person is not allowed to sit on the throne of a king. Ve'ein Mishtamshin B'Sharvito. And you're not allowed to use his scepter. Ve'ein Rohen Oso Kishu Mistam. You're not allowed to look at a king when he's getting his hair cut. And also, v'lo kishu arom, not when the king is without clothing. V'lo kishu bebeis hamerchatz, you can't look at him while he's taking a bath, as it states in the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 15, som tasim alecha melech, you must place a king upon yourself. And says our Mishnah, we learn from here, shetehei emaso alecha, the awe of the king must be upon you. So our Mishnah had stated that you're not allowed to use this sharvit, the scepter of the king. But our Gemara understands that a sharvit, a scepter, does not only literally mean his scepter, but it actually relates to any utensil that a king used in his life, anything that he used as part of his service, that becomes forbidden to any non-king to use. Another king who comes after him could use it, but any person who's not a king is not able to use it. And in this context, the Gemara cites Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Avishag muteres l'shlomo v'asura l'adoniya. So Avishag, who was a woman who appears in the first book of Kings, chapter 1, in the first few verses, who was brought to David in order to keep him warm when his body was cold, and he did not have a sexual relationship with her. So therefore, our Gemara understands that she was of use to him. She was she was keeping him warm only, and so therefore she's equivalent to something that no other non-king can use, but another king could use. And therefore, since Shlomo was a king, Shlomo, David's son, was a king, he was able to have benefit from Avishag. He could marry her if he wanted, he could take her as his concubine, or he could use her to keep him warm. However, Adoniah was another son of David, but he never became king. She was prohibited to him, and if for any use whatsoever. And this is how the Gemara explains it. Muteres l'Shlomo, she was permitted to Solomon, the Melechaya, because Solomon was a king. Umelech mishtarmesh b'sharvito shel melech. A king is allowed to use a scepter of another king, but she's prohibited to Adoniah because Adoniah was a hedjot, he was a commoner. So the Gemara says, Avishag mahi, what is the nature of the relationship between Avishag, meaning to say, how do we know that she was not his wife? What is the exact nature of their relationship? And it explains the Gemara by citing the verses from the first book of Kings that we just referred to. Va'melch David zaken ba'biyamim. The king David grew old, and they covered him with garments, and these garments were unable to warm him. Va'yomru lo avadav yivakshu. So the king's servant said, let us find a nara betulai, a virgin young woman who can come before the king, and she will serve him as a sochanes, which means to say she will keep him warm. She will be like his attendant, and she will keep the king warm. And it says, "Vayivakshu nara yafa." They searched for such a woman, and throughout all of the land of Israel, and they found Avishag Shunamis, and she came to the king. And the verse states, "Vanara yafa an ma'od." She was exceedingly beautiful. Vatiwa melch sochanes, and she became an attendant to the king, and she served the king. But as the verse states, "Vamel." The king never had a sexual relationship. And so from these verses we learn that Avishag served David only to keep him warm, and so therefore she had the legal status. This is obviously very difficult words to say today about another human being, but this is how the Talmud understands the relationship between the king and Avishag. She had the legal status of a scepter. The Gemara then understands a very strange event happened, that Avishag said to David, Ninaspan, marry me. And King David said, no, I cannot marry you. Asirasli, you're prohibited to me. Rashi's understanding about why David says she's prohibited to him is because David already had 18 wives, and we've learned in the Talmud that a king is not allowed to have more than 18 wives. So David says, I can't marry you because you have more than 18 wives. To which Avishag responded in a very snarky manner. She said, Chasre leganava navshe lashlama nakid. She says, yeah, of course you can't marry me, because there's an expression, once a thief has no place to steal from anymore, suddenly he says, I'm a man of peace. Meaning to say, once the thief has nothing to steal from, then he says, oh, I've reformed my ways. You too, David. The reason why you can't, why you don't want to marry me is because you're not capable of having sexual relations anymore. That's the only reason why you don't want to marry me. And so at that point, says the Gemara, David said to his servants, Kirali Labasheva. This is a very, very difficult passage to understand. He says, call for me Basheva, and Vatavo Basheva El HaMelech HaChadra. And Basheva came to the king's room, and the Gemara understands that what happened was that at that time, that Batsheva needed to clean herself with 13 separate cloths. And Rashi explains that what happened at this moment is that David had 13 bios with Batsheva. He had 13 sexual relationships with Batsheva. And that's the reason why she needed these cloths in order to clean herself. So this is a very, very complicated passage. What benefit is the Gemara have by even telling us this story, and why does David need to prove anything to Batsheva? And also, why is it so important that David has to take a beautiful woman, a woman of exceeding beauty, to be the person who is the Sochenes for him? What is going on in this story? So the Aruch HaNer says that really we know that David had sinned with Batsheva at the beginning of his life. He had sinned with the sin of sexuality, that he was unable to control his impulses. And so the whole point of this story is to say that David did a complete repentance, that he was able to overcome his earlier temptations in life, because the highest level of repentance is being in the same situation and not sinning. And so therefore David overcame his sinful temptations, and the Gemara proves this, that he was capable of sinning and he still withheld himself, and he was capable of committing a prohibition of his sexual nature, and this Gemara proves that he did not violate, and so David completely repented at the end of his life.